Praise the Lord. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, it's a good warm welcome. I'm glad to hear you're awake and here to praise the Lord and give thanks unto the Lord. It's still great to be saved, isn't it? We're a week further on, a week near heaven, near home, and it's still great to be saved, isn't it?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Have you told anybody how good it is to be saved this week? Praise the Lord, sister. That's what I want to hear. There's no point you sitting in here telling me how great it is to be saved and telling nobody. I know how great it is to be saved. But there's a whole lot of folk out there don't know how great it is to be saved. And you who know how great it is to be saved need to be telling the folk that don't know how great it is to be saved just how great it is to be saved. All right. So don't come in and tell me it's great to be saved if you haven't told somebody else it's great to be saved. Tell people about Jesus, the mighty to save. Now, we want to still our hearts. A wee word of prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, we just bow before Thee this evening and we thank Thee for Your Word. We thank You for the power of Your Word. Father, we thank Thee for the blessing of Your Word. We thank Thee for the instruction of Your Word. And we thank Thee, Father, for the correction and chastisement of Your Word. But Father, we bow in Thy presence this evening and we thank Thee for the wonder of Thy Word. We thank You, Father, that You have disclosed the very thoughts of God to creatures of the dust like us. Father, You have opened the windows of heaven, as it were, and allowed us to gaze into the plans and the purposes of the Almighty. And Father, through Thy Word, we have found Thy love for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we are bowed in Thy presence this evening because we love Thee. We're bowed here tonight because we are rejoicing in our soul's salvation. And Father, we pray tonight that You will bless us and instruct us through Your Word in the way that we should go. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, turn again to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, and we're reading from verses 16 down to 19, so a very short reading tonight, just the four verses. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 16. Let's hear the word of the living God. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of. Amen. And we know that God again will bless the public reading of His own inspired, precious, holy, infallible Word. We have been looking at this chapter very, very simply under the title of The Marks of a Spiritual Walk with God. And we've been trying to tease out four steps in our walk with God. And in Abraham, we have discovered that these steps come out as the Lord meets with him on the eve of the judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And we have seen, as we have looked at Abraham's walk, that the first step that he had the step of spiritual rest. He was at ease with the Lord. He was contented in the will of God. He was submissive to what God was doing in his life, and he was at ease. And then there was the spiritual communion. He had time with the Lord. And it's a blessed thing to know a life of spiritual communion with the Lord. That was the first two steps. We're moving on this evening. We want to look at the third mark of a walk with God. And I want you to see tonight Abraham's spiritual privilege. Abraham's spiritual privilege. He not only had spiritual rest and spiritual communion, he had spiritual rest. Now, I just want to highlight something that I've just said. You see, so often we excuse ourselves from living lives that honor God. We do it lip service, we give it lip service, but in reality, we excuse ourselves at every opportunity from living godly and holy lives unto our Savior and our Redeemer and unto our God. Because, well, we say it's the sign of the times. It's a sign of the times. Sure, the Bible tells us, God's Word tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3 that in the end days, there's going to be a great falling away. Men will be lovers of self and not lovers of God. And there'll be many with itchy ears will follow this and follow that and follow the other thing. And my God doesn't expect us to be spiritual, to be godly in such a world that is ripe for judgment. And surely, we're not to stand out. Surely we're not to live that life that tells for God when judgment's on the way. There may be many reasons you may think why God placed this portion of Scripture in His Word. But as I thought about it and meditated upon it, I thought to myself, is this one of the reasons this passage is in God's Word? You see, beloved, could it be that the Lord could have bypassed Abraham on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah? He could have bypassed him, never met with him, never come near him, and Abraham would never have known anything of the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah until the fire and brimstone fell, and he wouldn't have known a thing about it. Could it be that the Lord didn't bypass Abraham that day, so he could set a marker in his word to instruct us in these days in which we are living, which I believe are the last of the last days, when we're living on the very verge of the judgment of God, that God is still expecting His people to have a spiritual walk with Him. God is still expecting His people to be godly and to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That has never changed. That has never changed. And I believe that this is a marker in God's Word for you and for me today. In these last days that we are living in before the judgment of God comes. That we are to live holy lives. That we are to have a spiritual walk with God that tells in an ungodly world. And that's why I was challenging you there at the start of the meeting. Have you told somebody how wonderful it is to be saved? You see, that's the kind of people we're to be in this dark world that we live in. The verses that we have read this evening, you maybe have read them many, many times before. And maybe never gave them much thought. But for me, as I read them and I thought about them, they were verses that reached down into my being. And they brought truths to the surface that I really didn't want to look at. And I didn't want to think about. And I certainly wasn't that terribly anxious to apply. And I found a great challenge to my heart and to my soul as I studied God's Word. Maybe you don't think that. Maybe you think you pastors never are challenged with the Word. They just challenge you. But I want to tell you, I have been shaken to the soles of my feet with the Word of God as I thought about it and meditated upon it for these meetings. And God's Word challenges me on a daily basis. In the verses that we have read this evening, you see, I see the burden of spiritual privilege. There's the burden of spiritual privilege. When we think of privilege, and even spiritual privilege, we think on the terms of popularity and fame and high esteem and favor and applause and praise. We think of those who get a good clap on the back and my, they're doing wonderful and they're great and everybody has a good word to say about them. And when we think of that, we think of those who are preachers and pastors to whom the people flock to. And we have all known pastors and preachers that have had their followings and are known worldwide. Many of them are in that position because they have borne the burden of spiritual privilege and God has brought them that way. But sad to say, there are many who have ambition for the pastorate and they have entered into it with only the visible privileges in mind of getting a name, of making a reputation, of having renown among the other churches. You see, beloved, There's another side to the coin of spiritual privilege that is uncovered for us in these verses. A side that is seldom brought to the fore. But I believe it is of the utmost urgency that we understand what it means to bear the burden of spiritual privilege. Because I think, beloved, I may be wrong. But I think we've lost it. I think we've lost it. We want church to be this happy, clappy place where there's no challenge. Where there's no commitment needed. Where we can just go in and out and forget about it and just go on our merry way. And we make the decisions for our own life and we do our own thing. But we'll come on a Sunday morning and we'll put our offering in the box and we'll sit at the Lord's table and we'll say amen at the right place. But there's no burden. There's no concern. There's no commitment. There's no challenge. And heaven forbid that a pastor should come or a preacher should come and challenge you from God's word. Why, you get uptight. And you get thrown, as we were saying, Ballymena. You see, we have lost it. We have lost the spiritual burden of privilege that has been bestowed upon us by the grace of God. Now, let me say, this is what I'm going to say this evening is not just for pastors and preachers, it's for everybody. Because in a sense, Abraham was neither a pastor nor a preacher. And so this is for every believer who would seek to have a walk with God. I want you to pay attention this evening. This is important. Maybe the most important message of this series. And this is for every single believer. It doesn't matter how many years you've been on the road or how few years you've been on the road. I need you to listen this evening. I want you to see, first of all, that this was a privilege that brought a spiritual loneliness into Abraham's life. It brought a spiritual loneliness into Abraham's life. Verse 16 says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way." The wickedness of Sodom had gone up before the Lord, and the Lord now rises with his two companions, and with slow and determined steps, they begin to make their way to issue that final judgment upon those sinful cities. But look what it says. It says, "And Abraham went with them to bring them on their way." Now, beloved, as I thought about that, I felt there's more to this than just the act of hospitality. You would see, if you were to study the whole life of Abraham from start to finish, you would find that there is little by little a separation of Abraham from everything. His life seems to be a life of continual separation. First of all, he was separated from his native country. Then he was separated from his father's house. Then he was separated from his father. Then he was separated from the fat of the land of Palestine and separated from Lot. Then he had to give up all thought of riches at the world's hand. And then the thought of the blessing through Ishmael. He had to be separated from that. And now, he has to be separated from his wife Sarah. Sarah couldn't come with him. She had to stay in the tent. While the Lord was in their camp and in their home, my, the servants were running this way and that way. Sarah was busy. There was a lot going on. But now, in this great moment, in this decisive moment, Abraham had to be alone with God. And no one could go with him. She had to remain in the tent while Abraham went a little further with God. And if you were to read on in the life of Abraham, you would find it's not the last time that Abraham will be called upon to go a little further with God. When you go into Genesis chapter 22 and you have the offering of Isaac. You see, beloved, Abraham is to enter into a spiritual intimacy with the Lord that called for a cutting away from all earthly ties. This was to be a communion that came from spiritual privilege, but that brought a spiritual loneliness. You see, there were secrets that were going to be communicated to him, and it could only be done so through a one-to-one encounter with the Lord. Dear child of God, there is a loneliness that must be embraced by the one who would seek to have spiritual privilege with God. If you would seek to have a sway with God, if you would seek to have a relationship with God, if you would seek to have power with God, I want to tell you, you have to embrace the loneliness that spiritual privilege brings with it. Oh, listen. Do you want to go a little further with the Almighty? Would you? How often do we read of the Lord going off all before the dawning of the day, off alone into the quiet place so He could be alone with the Father? Now, I don't want you to get the wrong impression here, because I see here that this was a willing separation. There was no hardness to Abraham. This was not a toil for Abraham. In fact, it was something that wasn't asked of him. The Lord and the two companions get up, but it says Abraham went with them on the way. This was a willing separation. You see, dear friends, although this relationship that Abraham had with the Lord called for a lonely walk, it was also an experience that was full of God. And that made up, more than made up, for any and every human separation. What did Isaiah say of the Lord? And I think it's true of every believer who would want to seek to go a wee bit further with God. In Isaiah 63 and verse 3, I have trodden the winepress alone. Listen, beloved, are you willing to trod the winepress alone? When I have had cause over the years to speak to young men who have come to me with an interest in the ministry and the pastorate and the pulpit, and that's their desire, I've always asked them, are you prepared for the loneliness that this walk with God will bring into your life? Are you prepared for the lonely hours of the study? Are you prepared for the lonely hours of prayer? Are you prepared for the lonely hours of isolation? And let me tell you, social exclusion from the church. You know, when you finish on a Sunday evening, and everybody's running to so-and-so's house, and everybody's invited to so-and-so's house, but nobody wants the pastor. Not that the pastor wants to go, but nobody wants the pastor. Are you prepared for the loneliness? You see, beloved, there is a loneliness to this walk with God that is sometimes acute, and sometimes misunderstood by those around us and even with our own loved ones. And sometimes the pastor's looked upon as odd and unsociable and reclusive. I want to tell you, a pastor lives with attention. When a pastor's out doing visitation, there's a tug in his heart for the study. And when he's in his study, there's a tug in his heart for visitation. And there's always that pull. But there's always that overwhelming pull to be near to the Lord and to spend time with the Lord. And it brings a loneliness into your life. And why, listen, I don't want you to get the wrong idea about it, because listen, I wouldn't take a demotion and be a king. Okay? The Lord has blessed me more and abundantly, because listen, while there is a burden to bear, there is, yet there is the blessing of the guiding hand of God in your life. And that's the wonder of it all. In years to come, God would speak through the prophet Isaiah of Abraham in Isaiah chapter 48 and 80. He would say this, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Isn't that wonderful? You see, that's what this loneliness brings. Friendship. Isn't it wonderful that the Almighty would say, "And Abraham, my friend"? Oh, beloved, to have a walk with God will call for times of acute separation from even the legitimate things of this world. I wonder, beloved, are you willing to go a little further with God? I wonder, will you all be at the prayer meeting on Tuesday night to go a little further with God? Have you a place in your home that is the quiet place? And everybody in the house knows it's the quiet place. They know that's the place where mommy goes. They know that's the place where daddy goes. The wife knows when the husband's slipping away where he's going. There's a place in the house that's like holy ground, because it's the quiet place. And it's the place where you get alone with God. And it's the place where the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. And it's a place where you bear that burden of loneliness because you want to be near, my God, to Thee. Is there such a place in your house? Is there such a place in your heart? There was a spiritual loneliness and spiritual privilege. But I want you to see, secondly, that this was a spiritual privilege that brought a spiritual revelation. It brought a spiritual revelation. Look at verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Now, I'm sure if you in your mind were to try and mentally make a list of the great verses of the Bible, this probably wouldn't be one of them. Wouldn't be one of them. It wouldn't be one of the verses that would spring immediately to your mind if you were trying to say, well, these are the top 10 big verses in the Bible. Wouldn't. But I want to tell you, this is one of the most mind-blowing and amazing verses in all the Bible. I believe the whole Godhead is involved here. You see, I don't believe the Lord's talking to Himself. I don't believe He's talking to the other companions. I believe that there's an instant communion with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" You see, here is old Abraham, and he's in the place with the Lord where the Lord is going to reveal His plans to him. He is in that place where the secrets of sovereign will and determination are going to be disclosed to him. What a place to be. Oh, beloved, can you see it? If Abraham had not chosen to walk with the Lord, if he had not chosen to rise with the Lord and just go a wee bit further, go beyond the norm. Go beyond what everybody else expected. To be alone with the Lord, he would never have entered into God's secrets. Never. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with the wise, with wise men, shall be wise." And I want to tell you, if you walk with the Lord, you're a wise man. You're a wise woman. And oh, that the Lord of the universe, the God of creation, the sustainer and keeper of it all, would stoop so low as to confide His secrets in one of Adam's race. Tells us in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 that God looks down upon the race of man and He delights when He finds some of His own who fear Him and think upon His name. Oh, beloved, you see, every time you go into the quiet place, it's not forgotten in heaven. Every time you lift up your heart in prayer and praise unto the Lord, it's not forgotten in heaven. God remembers it. And is blessed in His soul and thrilled that you would remember Him and lift up your voice towards Him. There's nothing more. There's a friend of mine, when I was in Monkstown, and we used to go for coffee every Monday. Every Monday, went for coffee. He bought, that's why I went. And we went for coffee every Monday. And we would have sat down, and we brought our Bibles with us, and we opened up the Bible, and everybody in the coffee shop seen us doing it, and we weren't one bit worried, and we'd have prayed together, and we'd have discussed the Word of God, and we weren't interested in gossiping or talking about anybody, we just talked about the Lord. And we just talked and talked and talked about the Lord, and everybody came out and then and wondered. And you know, there was days There was days that we sat together and wept in the middle of a coffee shop, just drinking coffee, but weeping. Weeping. He came down to see me in Coleraine there the other week, and we went out for coffee and we sat. No, I met him in Ballymena and we went out for coffee. And just, it was the first time we'd met up maybe in 3 or 4 months. And we just sat again with the scriptures opened. And the both of us, it wasn't 5 minutes till the both of us were weeping. Just thinking upon the Lord and His goodness and His love and His mercy. And it thrills my soul tonight that those meetings God remembers and God delights in them. Beloved, is there somebody in your life that you discuss the scriptures with? Is there somebody in your life that you go out for a cup of coffee and you open the Bible and you just discuss the scriptures with? I want to tell you, it is a tremendous blessing to the soul to have a brother or a sister that you can go out with, a wee cup of coffee, and just sit and talk about the Lord. It is the most wonderful, wonderful blessing of Christian fellowship. I hope you have something like that. If you haven't, ask the Lord to send somebody across your path that you could go and have coffee with and be a blessing to each other's soul and be remembered in heaven. But can you gaze upon this old saint? Here's Abraham. He's 99 years old. This old man should be sitting down and taking it easy. He shouldn't be worrying about these things. He shouldn't be bothered by these things. But as the Lord searches his heart, the Lord finds a man who was faithful to him. In the measure of grace that he had, he was faithful to him. And to him, God determined to unfold his will. To tell him what he was going to do. To tell him his plans, his purposes. Why? We looked at Amos 3 and 3 last week, and two walk together except to be agreed. And the Lord wanted this man to walk a wee bit further with him so he could tell him what he was going to do. Does it not take you back to the garden when the two walked in the cool of the day, cool of the evening, and there was that fellowship? Oh, I tell you, I believe there's a yearning in the heart of God to have his wains all home to glory so we can walk in the cool of the day with him again. Wonderful. You know, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And everything that was, you study it, everything that was lost in the garden when man sinned, the Lord Jesus Christ regained for us at Calvary's cross. It's powerful. You look at it. But everything that was lost in the garden was regained for us at Calvary. It's wonderful. Oh, I tell you, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. To be a man with God, that walks with God, and God knows you in such a way, and you know Him in such a way that He unfolds His will to your heart and to your life. Oh, but you say, Pastor, Abraham's in the Bible. You know, and it's only special people that get into the Bible. It's only the most unique and wonderful and spiritual people that get into the Bible. And the Lord Himself says He's my friend. You can't possibly be saying that I can have that same walk with God. That I can occupy the same place that Abraham occupied with God. Well, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You know the verses so well. Verse 13 says this, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The Lord's speaking here. What does He say? Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I know that was said to the disciples, but it's true of every believer. We can sing this evening, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Are we not the friends of God? We who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Has He not disclosed to us His plans and purposes for this world? Has He not told us that judgment is coming? Are we not to live with the vision of a lost world before our eyes? Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, Paul says. What would Abraham do with this new knowledge that the Lord was going to impart to him? Well, if you want to find out, you'll have to come back next week. Because that's what we'll be looking at next week, God willing. But beloved, as we look at the news today and we read the newspapers and we see what's going on in the world about us, listen, the storm clouds of judgment are beginning to gather against this world. And the Lord has told us what's going to come. And we have more light today than Abraham had. We have the Word of God. That's more than Abraham had. And what will we do with the knowledge? What will we do with this understanding of what God is going to do and the judgment that's coming upon this world? What are we going to do with it? Will we go a wee bit further with God? Will we? We have been given by God a spiritual privilege. The spiritual privilege of revelation. We have the Word of God has been committed into our hands. We know what's going to happen to this world. But how does it affect us? What kind of prayer life are we to have in the light of what the Word of God is telling us? What kinds of conversations are we to have with men and women? And you in this gathering this evening who would want the pulpit, who would want to preach, can I say to you this evening, we are not performers. We are proclaimers. We are not to be in the pulpit as comedians. We're there as prevailers. We're not entertainers. We're trustees of the Word of God. And we bear a burden as preachers and teachers that few other are called to bear. And I say to you young men this evening, if what you want in your heart is the acclaim of man, then stay out of the pulpit. If what you want is position, stay out of the pulpit. If what you're looking for is an easy life, stay out of the pulpit. If you're not prepared for the loneliness of the ministry and the burden of the Word of God, stay out of the pulpit. But if you, like Abraham, can do no other than follow the Lord wheresoever He may lead, if His Word burns in your soul and your heart yearns for the solitary place of communion, then, my brother in the Lord, the pulpit's yours in Christ. And you're welcome in it. You're welcome in it. If too many today who want the pulpit for all the wrong reasons. This place here is an altar. And the preacher has to die on it every time he goes onto it. But I said at the beginning, this is for every believer. Look down at your knees. Look down at your knees. What are you holding? Tell me, somebody tell me, what are you holding? You're holding the Word of God. You are. In your hands, the very Word of God, the power of God unto salvation, has been committed to your hands, committed to your care, committed to your witness and to your testimony and to your life. Question is, what will you and I do with it? Here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Will you go a wee bit further with God? Are you as far as you want to go with God? Yes, a spiritual privilege brought a spiritual loneliness. It brought a spiritual revelation. But I want you to see finally tonight that this spiritual privilege brought to the life of Abraham a spiritual scrutiny. a spiritual scrutiny. Verses 18 and 19, see that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of. There are four words. And as I read them and thought about them, they have shaken and blessed my soul. Listen to them. For I know him. Have you ever seen that? When you read that verse 19, for I know him. You highlight that when you go home or underline it, whatever. For I know him. That word know in the Hebrew, it means to observe. If the Lord can gaze into the life of Alan Hoy and into every recess and every corner, if every door is open and nothing is hid, and he finds, in spite of Alan Hoy's faults and failures, as we all have, if he can find an acceptable life, well then I don't care what the world sees in Alan Hoy. I don't. Because if Jesus can see something of himself in me, then that's what the world will see. As God observes our lives, what does he see? Oh, we don't like that. We don't like that. And the Lord is saying to Abraham here that he had observed his life. He had scrutinized his life. And I tell you, beloved, if that doesn't shake you up, I don't know what would. That we who are partakers of the grace of God, those who have known the redeeming power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who have been brought into the family and the fold of God, that we would be partakers of such spiritual privilege. We must understand that along with that spiritual privilege comes a scrutiny of the Lord. The psalmist cries out, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. The Lord knew Abraham, first of all, prophetically in verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God had a plan for Abraham. A plan that would last longer than Abraham. From Abraham, God was going to build a nation that would bless the world. If you were to look at the nation of Israel today, there's no other nation in the world has blessed the world like the nation of Israel. No other nation in the world. I remember I was talking to a young man who was doing door-to-door work up in the Limavady area, and I met this young man, and boy, he was cross. And he was very anti-God. And we stood and we debated a wee while, and I showed him some scriptures, but he wasn't interested. Well, I says, I'll tell you what to do. I'm going to ask you to do something that's got absolutely nothing to do with the Bible. You don't have to go to a commentary. You don't have to go to the Bible. You don't have to go anywhere. The only thing you have to do is switch on your computer. I says, I want you to go and study Israel, the nation of Israel, because Israel shouldn't be here. There's no other nation like Israel in all the world that lost their land, were scattered over the world, and yet maintained their nationality as Jews. No other nation done that. No other nation could do that. And then be brought into the land again and get it again. Unbelievable. I told him, you go and study that and then come back to me and tell me there's no God. Well, he didn't come back again. But look, here is Abraham and he's a part of God's plan. And beloved, to be part of God's plan that will last long after we are called home. I wonder, beloved, are you and I living lives? Now, I'm asking honest questions here because I'm asking myself the same question. Are you and I living lives that have plans within them that have eternal dimensions to them. Hmm? Are we? Are we living for time or are we living for eternity? Are we living for self or are we living for God? Do you and I live lives that have plans with eternal dimensions in them? For Abraham, God was going to take this one man, and he's going to build a nation from him. A nation that would bless the world. And a nation from which the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer would come to save the world. What does it say in Galatians 3 and 8? And the scriptures foreseeing that God should justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. The Lord knew Abraham prophetically. But he knew Abraham also practically. Verse 19, it says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. In verse 18, it outlines what God was going to do for Abraham. But verse 19 outlines what Abraham was going to do for God. And there you have God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Just in two verses, here in one verse. Wonderful. And Abraham was to so order his affairs that both his wains and his workers would walk in God's way and keep God's standard. He was to be God's man in public and he was to be God's man in private. He was to be a man of spiritual knowledge and he was to be a man of spiritual authority. He was to be prophet, priest and king in his own home. Now, Abraham would have his failures. And the Lord knows that because he knows you and me. We have our failures. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. But when the Lord scrutinized the heart of Abraham, he saw there a man who, in spite of his failings, longed to do the will of God. Abraham just didn't give good advice in his home. The Bible says that he commanded his home. And I tell you, that is something that is lacking in many homes today. Certainly in many Christian homes. The tail wags the dog. And it's all for what youngsters want and what the weans want and all the rest. And they tell the parents what they want and the parents give in to them. That's not the way they should be. My weans would come and told me what they wanted. And then I told them what they were going to get. Different world we live in today. But beloved, we are to live by example in obedience to the word of God. So that when we speak, whether it be in public, whether it be in private, the words that we say have weight and authority behind them. So that men and women will know that we have been with Jesus. This is a side to spiritual privilege that's not often preached or taught in our churches today because it's too searching. The possibility is that it will offend and annoy because it cuts too deep. And it opposes the old man who wants to be heard. But can I say to you this evening, if you would seek favor with God, I believe with all my heart and with all my soul and with every fiber of my being, this is the way, walk ye in it. Will you go a wee bit further with God? A wee bit further into that spiritual loneliness. A wee bit further into spiritual revelation. A wee bit further into spiritual scrutiny. And cry out before the living God, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, thou art the potter and I am the clay. What would happen in this fellowship? What would happen in this town? If that was the burden and cry of every saved soul here this evening, what would happen? My prayer is that God would be patient with me as I seek to come to terms with His word to my heart tonight. And if there could be one thing that could be written in my headstone, I think I would want it to be this. He went a wee bit further with the Lord. I think that would say everything that I would want to be as a child of God. Amen. May God